Hey, welcome to Dogs Are Smarter Than People, the podcast that is weird, but helpful.
Just like it's helpful.
Us in real life. I'm Carrie Jones. I'm an internationally best-selling novelist and reporter, and now a podcaster. And with me, as always, is my husband, Sean Kelly Farrar. What are you, Shawnee?
A man with three names, apparently.
And that means you're going to be a murderer soon, probably.
Oh, that's right.
But every podcast, we do a random thought, and then we give you a little life help, maybe.
Usually based on a dog's advice.
And then a dog tip, right. And it's all meant to be good happiness, man.
Just fun.
So chill back, relax, and maybe you'll learn something.
Or maybe you'll laugh.
Or maybe even both.
Try this again. That was pitiful.
Well, that wasn't pitiful.
Hey.
Barely surviving.
Oh my god.
Barely hanging on.
Drama queen. You know that Emma song?
Drama queen. I don't know how it goes. Dancing queen. Young and teen, only 17.
Yep.
Drama. I am definitely not 17.
Sometimes. Sometimes.
Making me cough. So anyways, our dog just came in and stepped on a squeaky toy.
See, did step on a squeaky toy.
And let's get into the podcast.
Alright, baby, let's do this.
So, random thought, because we always start with something stupid, because that's the way we are, both smart and stupid, like everybody else in the world. This is not necessarily stupid, but I find it incredibly intriguing. So on NewJersey.com, they have a piece by S.P. Sullivan all the way back in 2015, right?
Yeah.
And the headline is, My Uncle, the Jersey Devil. One man's quest to set the record straight on a New Jersey legend.
His uncle was the Jersey Devil?
Well, that's what it's really kind of about. So this guy, Bill Sprouse, 39, right?
Yeah.
He said that when he was 10 years old, direct quote, he was visiting his grandmother, his bebop, Helen Leeds, at her tiny house in Absecon, when she told him, quite plainly, that he was related to the Jersey Devil. I kind of forgot about it for 10 or 15 years, he tells me, as we drive down suburban back roads at the edge of the Pine Barrens, the Jersey Devil's backyard. I think it's one of the weirdest things about growing up this part of New Jersey. Somebody can tell you you're related to a monster, and it won't seem like a very big deal.
Apparently, his grandmother didn't like his grandfather very much, huh?
What? Why?
Oh, wasn't because I'm just... I made that assumption that if he's related to the Jersey Devil, it was his grandfather because of the title. So, she was just like, he's the Jersey Devil himself! And he mistook it as a 10-year-old. Anyways.
No. It wasn't about his grandpa being naughty. Right?
Yeah.
Maybe drinking too much whiskey or being a little something-something in bed, right? Here's the story.
So he sprouts horns and a tail in the bedroom?
All right. Here again. Direct quote from the article. The story goes that Mother Leeds, old and destitute, was pregnant with her 13th child.
Unlucky number 13.
When she cursed her own misfortune. Let it be the devil's child, she declared. And so it was. A monster with a horse's head, cloven hooves, bat wings, and a pointed tail. It flew up and out of the chimney and has haunted the Pine Barrens ever since.
Wow.
Sprouse's grandmother.
Straight out of the womb. Poof. Boom.
Gone. Yep. Sprouse's grandmother told him that they were directly descended from Deborah Leeds, a woman who lived in Leeds Point and had 12 children. My grandmother didn't actually think that Deborah Leeds had given birth to a monster, of course, but she did think that maybe there was some reason why the neighbors told this story about her, Sprouse says. So a lot of my book, because he's selling a book, started out as kind of an investigation into what can be discovered about Deborah Smith and her husband, Japheth Means.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
That, I don't know. Never mind. I was going to say Japheth must have some Oh, I just made up some demon semen.
No. I would love to put that in the title of the podcast, but I can't.
Yeah, you can.
No, I can't.
Demon semen.
No.
Come on, man. Just because of the title.
But anyways, the whole point of his book is really like trying to figure out who he is and what that legend means and blah, 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 blah. You know,
yeah.
Like, and it, not blah, blah, blah in a derogatory way, but just like that's, you know, really what it's about. Like, it's kind of an excuse to write about himself and his family and his life and trying to understand the culture from which he came from and which, you know.
Oh, I gotcha.
But
so it's more of a sociology book than a paranormal book?
It's kind of a memoir, kind of like family history, kind of paranormal, kind of cryptid, you know, like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could probably write a book about that. Something like, not the Jersey Devil, though. I mean, I don't know what monster my family is kin to.
Really?
Yeah.
I can imagine your family has a lot of monsters in it.
Oh, come on now.
My family has a freaking H.H. Holmes in it.
Well, that's a human monster.
I know.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of families with a lot of human monsters out there.
Yes, there are.
You know, like, that's kind of the point, I guess. But it's really interesting, and the whole article from Jersey.com is interesting, so we'll have a link to it in our podcast notes. But, I don't know. If you had to pick a cryptid that you were related to or an urban legend, who would you want to be related to?
Well, I mean, that's two different questions, really. It's like, who would you want it to be?
Mm-hmm.
Or who, if you think back about your family, what you know about your family history, do you think it might be? If I was going to be related to a cryptid, I don't know who it would be, actually. Probably Bigfoot.
Bigfoot?
Yeah.
Because he's a hominid.
Yeah, and he seems like the most chill, really. Most of the other, I mean, like the Jersey Devil and
Mothman,
those still count as cryptids, right?
Yeah, man.
So they're all kind of like aggressive and mean, right?
Yeah, but Bigfoot can be mellow, is your theory.
Yeah, I don't think Bigfoot even really spends much time eating meat, unless it's carrion.
Yeah, stinky.
I don't care what Bigfoot hunters say. I don't see a Bigfoot chasing down a deer or any four-legged animal, really.
I just think Bigfoot's full of peace.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I was saying, right?
Yeah,
man. I mean.
Wow, that was a tangent we went down.
Yeah, and a lot of dead air.
Well, that's because I was waiting for you to talk. What about you? Oh, me?
Yeah.
I think I would like to be related to a banshee.
A scream. Oh, well,
or,
I think you
are. Or a fairy. Or a fairy. Or a unicorn. Or Athena.
A unicorn doesn't
Greek
count
goddess.
In a cryptid, does it?
Yes, of course it does.
What's she the Greek goddess of?
War and intellect.
Well, you got half of it.
I got it all.
You got it all?
Intellectual and helpful part of the podcast where hopefully we don't have big pauses, dead air that we won't care enough to.
Hey, I made a funny joke, so I
you
was,
made a funny
I was
joke.
Deserved
like a good boy.
A little less talking. Demon semen.
The real. What?
I was going to say, that's kind of a show don't tell thing.
Oh, it is.
Everybody can picture that.
So the real title of our podcast is Related to Monsters and Writers. Get into your reader's brain if you want a show and not tell. So we're continuing with our monster show don't tell series of podcasts and posts.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And we're really on fire about showing not telling, right, Sean?
We are so on fire.
And you can check out the rest of the series on the Substack right better now. or just the podcast episodes on my website, links everywhere, right? And soon we're going to have monthly author interviews, starting with Chris Lynch, where we will not be ridiculous in the beginning, and it'll probably just be me.
I was going to say, when you say me, is that you and the other author, or what?
Yeah, that's me and the other author.
Can I just sit here quietly and throw in humorous tidbits every once in a while?
No, we got to respect our guests. All right, so one of the hardest places to differentiate between showing rather than telling in writing or vice versa is when it comes to internal thoughts and feelings. So here's a quick example.
Ham groaned. He'd forgotten to turn off the water bottle drip in the hamster cage again.
So there's the groan, right?
Yeah.
That's all good and fine because it's an action. But then you have him forgetting and thinking about what he forgot to do, right?
Right.
All of that part. It's too much explaining and too much distancing from, like, the thought or the experience.
Really?
Yes. So, instead of living with Ham Ham as he realizes he forgot to do something important for the hamster cage bedding, we are distanced from it. It's more of a play-by-play in a ball game than being a player in the ball game, actually kicking the ball, making a goal. So, instead, as a writer, you want to go right into Ham Ham's head and say...
Damn it! Ham Ham hadn't turned off the damn water bottle. Now there'd be water drip, drip, dripping all over all day in the cage. The wood chips would be soggy as hell.
And I mean, there's no real active verbs in there or anything, but you're in the immediate experience of Ham Ham's brain, right? You're feeling it with him.
Yeah.
Especially because he says Ham Ham, who says damn, damn.
And he's going to be stinky.
It's going to suck.
He's going to have to run on his wheel to dry out and stay out of the water.
Yeah. And this seems like a really simple thing for the podcast to be talking about. But let me tell you, it is not simple. No. I see it all the time. The telegraphing of thoughts and of movement and of action. And it's a lot of telling.
That's why people pay you money, baby. Because that really is hard when you're like writing a book to think about those things constantly while you write, you know?
Well, the thing is, it's not like really something you learn unless you actively go out and try to learn it.
Right.
You know, like it's almost counterintuitive because writing is communication to people, right?
Right.
And so when you're the writer and you want to make sure the reader gets it, you're going to embed a lot of things that are telling because you want to make sure they get it. Right?
Uh-huh.
And so there's this moment where you have to start in your writing career, where you have to start trusting the reader to get you. And a lot of times our telling moments in our novels or our stories are because we don't either trust our own ability to get the story across, or maybe we don't trust the reader to understand it, or maybe we're just so worried that the reader's not gonna get what we're putting down that we overexplain and overtell.
Well, I was going to ask a question, but I think you basically just answered it. I was going to say, do people do that? I mean, people must be guilty of that a lot. Mm-hmm. Over-explanation just to make sure people understand exactly what they're trying to say or what the person's feeling or whatever.
Yeah, like in another podcaster post, we have it, like, remember where, like, Sean walks to the door and he opens it and...
Looks outside and sees the package on the porch.
Right. Like,
and closes the door and turns around and said, "Honey, you've got a package."
Yeah. Like,
and goes back to sitting on the couch watching football. None of that's true.
And that can be a fine passage in a novel about the mundane
life of Sean.
Yeah, but or the American middle class or whatever, but like it also could be a totally not needed passage in a bigger novel.
Right.
There you go.
Goal tip for life.
Woo woo.
So
dog tip there?
Well, I thought you had one right there, but mine was going to be a little different.
Tell us your dog tip, and then we'll tell us my dog tip.
Mine was going to be, don't over-explain everything.
Oh, that's a really... I'm going to delete mine, because that's a better one. All right, really? Yeah.
Yeah, Pogi gave a perfect example as she was explaining, and she sat there in front of you.
Yeah.
Patiently. waiting for you, and then you did nothing. So then she put her paw on your leg, and finally, she aggravated enough for you to get up, and she took you directly to the treat that she wanted.
Because she's a smart girl.
She didn't over-explain nothing.
She's a smart girl.
She's very direct.
She is direct.
Yeah.
And the converse of that would be like a human telling a dog to sit. Like, if you want your dog to sit and sit quickly, you teach them, sit.
Right.
But you don't say, oh, little pooty, would you, will you kind of sit for mama? And I think because I need you to sit down because there's people coming over. And then why don't you sit? Because, like, the sit just gets lost.
Oh, yeah.
The command, the need. So you don't want to over-explain. That was brilliant, Sean. That was a brilliant dog tip from life for you and Pogie.
I mean, Pogie only knows, like, 600 words. So you don't want to overwhelm her with all the other.
Cutie pooty puppy.
Scritchy scratchy.
You want to do scritchy scratchy?
They all.
You want 595
of those 600 came from Carrie.
Shut up. So
mean. All right, baby, give us a shout out.
Hey, the music we've clipped and shortened in this podcast is awesome and is made available through the Creative Commons license. Who's that artist and what's that song?
I don't know, man.
You do, you know?
I do. I've even saying it. It's Summer Spleef by Broke for Free.
And we have extra content all about living happy on the livinghappy.substack.com blog. And it's pretty awesome. And we also have a writing tips podcast called Write Better Now.
They're both awesome.
But our brand new
amazing creepy podcast is Dude, No! It's like that. You gotta say it like that.
He does say it like that. It's true crime with an occasional foray into the paranormal and the macabre, and it's awesome. And finally, we have a podcast.
Loving the Strange.
Which we stream live.
On Carrie's Facebook and Twitter and YouTube on Fridays, but every other Friday.
Every other Friday now, because we're lazy.
So be sure to check her Facebook and Twitter for the dates when we are going to be podcasting live and making fools of ourselves.
Live.
We're going to do a Hot Wings challenge real soon.
Oh, dear God.
And that's always a good one.
Anyways, all my Twitter handles and Facebook handles and blah, blah, blah. It's either Carrie Jones Books or Carrie Jones Book. Carrie with a C-A-R-R-I-E. Yeah. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah, thank you so much. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share.
Be kind. Be kind to us, old people.
Oh, yeah, we can.